Our gospel reading today comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 25, and I will be reading the parable. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a shout. Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise replied, no, it will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourself. And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those that were ready went with him into the wedding, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaid came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he replied, truly, I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. The word of God to the people of God. Thanks be to God. So I have to ask, who doesn't love a wedding? Everybody gets excited, I think, when there's a wedding coming, all the preparation it takes, but there's great excitement. And the people of Jesus' day would have really turned the ear when Jesus started talking about a wedding, because that was the big day of celebration back in the first century and in Jesus' time, because everybody was left off of their duties, even the rabbis that would pray constantly and study the law constantly. They were all able to leave to go to a wedding. The wedding was a time of partying and just a celebration and being together. And you know what was different back then? Everybody didn't have 90 things on their calendar. So when a wedding came up, they just couldn't wait for that day to come. Now, I've got to tell you, the day I was writing this sermon, I got this in the mail, and it said, save the date for my grandson and my new granddaughter today's wedding, which is next September. Next September. I hope I still know where it is by next September. But not that I wouldn't drop everything that day if my grandson was going to get married and do whatever. But this is the time we live in. You know, they're preparing us 9 months ahead of time. I was at their engagement party a year ago. So I've known since a year ago that September of 2024 was going to be their wedding, and it was already on my calendar. But we have to send out save the dates. We have to send out save the dates. But something else I noticed, which you'll hear in the sermon, there's only a day. There's not a time. So I don't know if I'm going to be ready early in the morning, later in the afternoon, or whether we're going to have an evening wedding. That's going to be the surprise. And that's exactly how it was in Jesus' time. The bridegroom picked the time of the wedding. And I read a few commentaries where it was that it was always like a surprise for the bride. The bride never knew when the bridegroom was going to come. And that sounds interesting in the wedding, because all the weddings I've done as a pastor, the bridegroom's there way before the bride. The bride's in the back room trying to get in that dress at the last minute. And when I tell you, I was literally asked if I had super glue one time to help keep a bride's dress on. And I said, no, you don't want to be super glue in this dress to the bride. I'll get you a needle and thread. But I mean, the things that happen as you're preparing, and you prepare a long time before, but you just don't know what's going to happen. And that's how it is at a wedding. I mean, weddings never usually more than 5 or 10 minutes late. I had one that was 50 minutes late because the people that were going to be in the wedding, not the bride and groom, they were both there. But there was an accident, and the people couldn't get to the wedding on time. We kept getting phone calls because of cell phones telling us could you wait a little longer. And it was a hot day. I was in the pastor in North Wild, but it was a really hot day. And the bride would not get out of the car because she didn't want the groom to see her before the wedding. So we kept running her ice water out of the car, and then the groom would go hide somewhere so she could come in the air conditioning for a while. But you just never know what's going to happen and if things are going to happen on time. And we'd like things to happen on time, don't we? My father was a veteran. He was in World War II in the Korean War, and my dad never wanted you to be late. I mean, when you told my dad you were going to be someplace, you better be there a half hour early, because that's the time you needed to be there. But that was okay because he taught me that discipline of being on time. And you'll see I'll be here at 8:30 every Sunday morning because you never know what can happen between 8:30 and 10 o'clock. And that's how I was brought up by my dad, who was in the Army. But we don't always know that we're going to get there on time. We don't always know how we're going to make it. And so Jesus has been talking to the Pharisees and Sadducees with all these parables, and now I'll call them the common people could listen again now, because now he brought up, and there was a wedding in heaven, and the kingdom of God is going to be like the bridegroom coming for the bride. And I'm sure they perked up their ears because they wanted to hear something exciting, something new, something good was going to happen in what they were going through. But you have to also remember that that's when the Roman Empire had come and taken over, and they wanted to hear some good news. Don't we like to hear some good news sometime? Mm-hmm. So their ears would have been really turned towards Jesus when he told them that it was going to be like a wedding, the bridegroom coming for the bride. But then he said, but I need to tell you, you need to be ready. It's all about being prepared. And Matthew goes through that a lot in his gospel, about being prepared. And we always think we're going to be prepared. So he tells them about the five bridesmaids that came prepared and the five bridesmaids that didn't come prepared. They came prepared with their light, like I tried to prepare us this morning with the light. I guess I should have put that new candle in that light. I said to Shirley, Pastor Don said new candles go in there, but when we checked before he left, we thought the candle was long enough. So I thought we were prepared, but you see, that today we only have the Christ candle lit because I didn't prepare well enough. Now they said that bridegrooms were wise and they were foolish. It didn't say that they weren't believers. It didn't say they were doing anything in their life that was wrong, but one was filled with the Spirit of God and one needed more oil. I remember the first time I read this scripture, I was a lay person and I was filling in for the pastor and I had to preach on it. And the first time I read it, I thought, well, I don't know about these bridesmaids, but I as a Christian was brought up not to be selfish. I was brought up that I had to share everything I had, that's why God blessed us the way he did, so that we could share it. But then as we look further into the scripture, it'll start to tell us exactly that the wise bridesmaids were not being selfish. You see, bridegroom had left them waiting a long, long time. Now, we're in first century, so you know they thought Jesus was coming right back. And here we are, 2,024 years later, and we're still waiting. And we've learned by waiting all these years and from our generations past that we are a people waiting, and that's what we're going to have to do. And we're going to have to be prepared each and every day for Jesus to come back. But not only for Jesus to come back, for whenever we're going to meet Jesus, because we know there's more than one way of meeting Jesus. Are we prepared in our lives for the day we meet Jesus? And see, the bridegroom was coming, and five were filled with God's Spirit and wisdom. The other five, not filled at all, but just not enough oil. So we think to ourselves, am I that Spirit-filled? Do I have enough Spirit of God within me to do the things that God's asking me to do each and every day? I don't know about you, but I get like really deep into devotions. And there won't be a day that goes by that I will not pull out a devotion book. And I will be in deep prayer and devotion. And then 6 months later, it starts to drift off a little bit. And you can feel something changing in your life, but you're not really sure what's changing. And you're not thinking, maybe I better get back to those devotions because they were the things that were keeping me going day by day. And then you get back into the devotion and you start feeling that peace again. You know that peace I'm talking about? The peace that says, you don't have to worry about tomorrow. That's the Spirit of God within you. That's that oil, the wisdom to know that you need that oil within you to keep you going from day to day. The unexpected always happens. There's always going to be a dark time,
And you can think back over your life. What it made me think about was, does anybody here like football?
I got to tell you, I'm an Eagles fan, so we'll just get that straight right from the top. I bleed green, and
all right.
Steelers.
You can take blood test.
Steelers.
Well, we'll be there. But I am an Eagles fan, and I love football. But does anybody remember last year the Buffalo Bills, the young man that was 24 years old that died on the field? The people that came around him and got his heart started again,
yes,
they had what they needed there. But most of all, it was when you looked around the sidelines and everybody was on their knees praying for him. And then while he was in the hospital, they held vigils outside the hospital. Everybody lit their candle to bring more light into this young man's life. And this week he went back to playing football again.
Prayer works.
Prayer works. And we need the Spirit of God within us to pray. We need to remember when those days come that we think we're not going to make it through this day, to know that that wise bridesmaid, the one that brought the extra oil, maybe we need to know that there's somebody else praying for us. I trust when somebody's praying for me that I can feel, because I know my church back in Elba is praying for me today. I know that I've reached out to my family, my friends. And when I can't stand here and pray out loud, I know that I have people that have my back. But the bridesmaids without the oil were frantic. They didn't know what to do. They wouldn't make it. Their torches wouldn't make it to the wedding. They weren't prepared when the bridegroom came. And those days come in our lives. And we need to be prepared for those days. And that's why God calls us in community too. Even though the five bridesmaids with the extra oil didn't feel that they could share it, when we have the Spirit of God within us, we can testify, we can witness to everything that God has done in our lives. But the person that we're witnessing to needs to accept it for themselves. We can't force anyone to take the message of Christ and accept it. All we can do is pray for them and continue to love them the way that God asks us to love them. And let people see the joy in our lives. You know, I know it's hard, but sometimes when life gets dark and you don't have joy in your life because you're going through a hard time, people watch us as Christians to see how we're going to handle ourselves. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be crying when we need to be crying, and we shouldn't, put an act on. But we know that when we pray to the Lord and we know that we have a good Christian foundation, we have good people around us that love us, we know that we can be lifted up in those times. And that's what the wise bridesmaid said to the other one, you're going to need some more oil. We can't give you our oil. We warned you that you might need some. Now, could you imagine? We don't like to jump down rabbit holes when we read these parables and make them bigger than they really are. But since Jesus brought up in his words the seller of the oil because the girls ran back to get some, could you imagine the seller of that oil? He's probably sold to more bridesmaids than you and I could ever think of. And could you imagine him trying to say to those girls, well, you better buy like the first five bought, because you never know when that bridegroom's going to come. And it could be at the very darkest hours. Did you hear? But at midnight, there was a shout. Imagine something happening at midnight. Ron, didn't you just bring up to me this morning about a fire up in Brooklyn?
Oh, yeah.
In the middle of the night?
Yes.
Have you ever been in a fire in the middle of the night? Maybe some of you have. Yeah. But isn't that the worst time for something to happen? When it's the darkest, could you imagine being drawn from your bed and have to go outside and watch as all of that's happening? At that time, do you have enough oil? Do you have enough Spirit of God within you to know that that's not too big for God to take care of? And so that oil seller
probably tried to get those other five bridesmaids to buy more oil. And many times we try to help other people see that. Maybe you need to be in devotions a little bit more. Maybe you need to be in mission in something to show your love of God a little bit more. Because I think anybody here that has done any mission at all knows how blessed you feel. You think you're going out to bless other people, but they in turn have blessed you more than you'll ever imagine when you go out to do mission, or you help your neighbor, or you love an unlovable neighbor. That's kind of hard to do sometimes. But that's what God is asking us to do, to prepare for that midnight time. Because if we're prepared constantly, we're never going to be without God. The Spirit of God is going to be within us. We're going to know immediately who to turn to. And we are going to be blessed by that turning. Keep awake, he says. Keep awake. Stay filled with the Spirit of God. Open your day in prayer. As I pray today about our feet touching the floor the first time out of bed in the morning, that came to me about 3 months ago. I mean, I've been a pastor for 10 years. I was a youth leader for 9 years before that. And I thought, no, I'm getting older. And I just want to age gracefully. Anybody feel that?
Oh, yeah.
That's all I say to my doctor. All I ask was that I grace, that I could get old gracefully. And I thought, well, I depend on God for everything else. And so about 3 months ago, I was determined that every morning when I get out of bed, when my foot first touches that floor, I'm going to give my feet to God. And I'm going to say to God, take my feet where you will have them go. And as I make my first cup of coffee, because I sit with God and have my cup of coffee, some people pray and then have their coffee. God doesn't want to hear me when I don't have my cup of coffee. He does. I tell my mind that he doesn't. But as I make my cup of coffee, I say to God, take my hands and let them make for this world what you would have to make for this world. And then my husband gets up and I say, good morning. And there go my lips. I have a great husband. But, you know, but first thing in the morning, when you get up in the morning, you have to make that connection with God. If you want your whole day to be filled with that Spirit, that oil, that extra oil, so that your light doesn't go off. We'll have that fixed next week. But I think that that's what Jesus wanted them to know in this parable. There will be dark days. We all know that. We're old enough to know that. We've been through dark days. There'll be dark days for others. But do you have enough oil in your lamp to keep you going that others can see that Spirit and that you can share that with them? Because that's what we pray for. And let us go to the Lord and pray for that now. Gracious and loving God, we pray that you renew us each morning. That you show us how to be ready. That you keep us in your word so that we will constantly feel filled with you. Lord, draw us and make us hungry for those things in life that will keep us going. As we hunger for many things, and as Joshua said, that we have a choice to make. Will we have all these other gods in our life? Or will we begin each and every day being grateful for you, that you are the God of our lives? We thank you again for this place where we come to worship. We thank you for each other. We thank you for the times that we need to be held up, that others hold us up in prayer and love. And we just ask now that we can be those people that hold up others. Lord, give us oil in our lamp and just keep us burning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.